Have you ever done something what you consider to be so horrible that there's no way you could be forgiven? You've so damaged a relationship or done something against someone that there's no coming back from. What about breaking 5 of the 10 commandments? Literally being able to see how you have directly violated the commandment of murder, adultery, stealing, lying, and coveting. What if you could identify all the ways you've broken those sins and yet there's still a way to find forgiveness? Not forgiveness from other people, but forgiveness from God. Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I pastor Mumfordville Baptist Church. Each week I prepare a devotion from God's Word, and this week we're in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a very famous psalm. It's been used in several situations where people were martyred, killed for their faith in Jesus Christ, refusing to declare someone else as Lord and God other than Jesus Christ, and so they died because of that. It's been used in several famous funerals. In this Psalm 51, David, the author of this psalm, is an individual who could identify very easily how he has broken at least 5 of the 10 commandments in one activity. He committed murder, directly having someone killed, committed adultery, took the man's wife. He stole his wife. He lied to other individuals in order to make it happen. He coveted this other person's wife. So breaking all 5 of those 10 commandments. Yet, he finds the opportunity because of repentance and the grace of God, he finds forgiveness. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. There in verses 1 and 2, he's calling on not his faithfulness, but the faithfulness of God. He's not requesting what he deserves, but what God graciously in his goodness, in his mercy, in his graciousness is willing to provide. He calls upon the mercy of God. The mercy is where God doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, in grace, in his steadfast love, he gives us what we need. Asking God to blot out his transgression, to literally to wipe it away like you would use whiteout in a mistake made when writing with an ink pen. You blot it out so that it's no longer visible. That happens through Jesus Christ. He recognizes that his sin, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. That iniquity, that is taking good in a wrong direction, twisting what is good and making it wrong, that's iniquity. Sin, that is missing the mark, took life at his own advantage, for his own advantage, and not for the purposes for which God created it and did his own thing. He's asking God to wipe it out, to wash him, to clean him, like a cleansing that would have been experienced by someone like someone with leprosy, to find the infection is removed. He recognized he needed a cure. You and I need a cure for our sin, and that cure is Jesus. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And so, that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. David is saying here that he recognizes his sin is against God. He says that his sin is intimate and it is personal, and he knows full well what he has done. And he knows that it's ultimately against God. Not that he didn't sin against people, but the ultimate sin is against God, the creator of the universe and the judge of all lives. David gets to the heart of the matter, and that is he was a sinner when he was conceived in his mother's womb. What he's saying here is that every single individual sins because we are sinners. We're not declared sinners because we sin. What that means is you don't just get old enough and all of a sudden you commit a certain sin and now you're labeled a sinner. No, from the very conception in our mother's womb, we inherit the sin nature of Adam and we are sinners. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. It is part of who we are. And that's what David is recognizing here. The root cause is he is bent from birth toward sin and away from God. He's not positive or neutral. He is constantly negative against God without the grace of God rescuing him. He recognizes his desperate need for God to bring about a cleansing, a healing in his life, in his soul, in his heart. Verse 7, purge me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Again, David is confessing his realization of his sin and what he has done against God. He's crying out that God would wash him, that he would take what is sinful, what is despicable, and make it clean, that he would take what's wrong and make it right. And the result of God taking what is tainted and stained and making it clean would be that he would have joy and gladness. Joy and gladness is not found in circumstances. Ultimately, it's found in a right relationship with God. David here is recognizing that his bones have literally been broken and crushed. It's possible David is going through some physical sickness because of his own sin, but he recognizes that God himself will blot out his iniquity, his sin. Like what is made available on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus nails our sin to the cross, it is possible for it to be blotted out. And then, and only then, do we have a right relationship with God and can experience joy. And we can experience what happens in verses 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. What he's calling on God to do is renewal and restoration. He's asking him to take his dirty conscience and clean it. Take his filthy heart, which is the source of his ambitions, and purify it that he might be right with God and might be cleansed. That he no longer would be broken and tainted by his evil heart that's bent against God, but that he instead would experience the joy of his salvation in verse 12. An interesting verse in verse 11, asking God not to remove the Holy Spirit from him. And some have taken this to mean that God removes salvation from us, that God can make us no longer saved. The understanding here is in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on an individual for a specific time, for a specific purpose. But in the New Testament, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come and live in you, reside on you, and with you until you get to heaven. It's not possible to lose our salvation once we have placed faith in Jesus Christ. It's interesting that this psalm is used for one of the most familiar hymns used during the time of invitation or dedication at the end of services. That familiar hymn, Just As I Am. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Have you come to the Lamb for cleansing? If there's any way I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you in coming to Jesus for the cleansing of your sin, reach out to us. We'd love to walk you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you have a great week. God bless.